welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never. And we're going to be getting into, as I told you, Madison's property. We covered Madison's remonstrance on religion last week. And the last essay that I have of his is this essay on property. And really what we want to do is, as we go through this essay on property, we want to reach back into the, you know, the Bill of Rights for the 21st century and look at what property rights do we need to look at, and what, and how do we need to move forward? And I'm not necessarily going to, you know, preach or anything like that, but I think we need to start changing our paradigm. And I think we need to start acknowledging that your state and county governments, we need to change how we look. I mean, it's everybody kind of has this, I'll just say this, if you want to call it capitalistic, but it's more of where, you know, we want to have all of our rights, but there are consequences to, you know, some of these things. And so without really, because I don't want to go into the details now, but what we'll be doing is we'll be going through the part of reinforcing property rights, because obviously we've lost a lot of our property rights. But we also need to think of how these property rights have been really perverted, and we've got a lot of nefarious people doing some really evil things today. And the question is, how did we get into this position? And more importantly, what can we do to shake these things and to actually kind of preserve, you know, our way of life, our culture, our liberties, and everything else? So anyway, let me just get into some of the obligatories that we have. And one of those obligatories is, as you know, we've got a YouTube channel with Reclaiming the Republic. And if you would subscribe to that, you will get notifications when we get some stuff up there. I, to be honest with you, with the legislative session and with it all kind of ending last week in some degree. I mean, South Dakota, I think this is their last week in session. A lot of the other ones have kind of, you know, called off, or, you know, they're taking a break, but they still have committee meetings and so forth throughout the year. And so what we're looking at is we're looking at, you know, getting ready to do the ratification debates. I also need to get the Constitution courses that I've got up and onto the YouTube channel. So I'll be kind of patching those together, or actually get, well, all I'm going to be doing is removing the promos. So that way you can listen to an abridged version of the Constitution, or I should say, you know, it may not be abridged because I still say all the things, the editorial comments and all the violations, those types of things, but you're not going to get any of the promos. We'll do the bumper music going in and coming back out. So anyway, that way, because, you know, I tend to continue reading or doing, you know, editorializing up until we go straight into the promo. So anyway, for what it's worth, I don't want to cut any of those things out, because I think there may be something that's, you know, significant that when all of a sudden we pick up, you go, what? That had nothing to do with what he was just saying. Or anyway, so we want to make sure that we don't remove too much of the content, but we want to streamline it so that you're not going to be having to listen to those, you know, however many promos we have in those episodes. But anywho. As you know, this year we've actually trimmed down the promos. We can increase the promos when we start actually getting picked up. But what I've done is I've just kind of cut it back down to one promo in the breaks. And I've done that just due to the fact that I really need to do new promos. I really need to sit down and do all new promos so that we can, you know, provide more relevant insights to what we're doing today, like First Amendment petitions and those things. But anyway, you know, we are definitely waiting for, you know, the ratification debates. And I have an email that I sent out yesterday to Dan and Paul to work out the phone line support and all of that type of stuff. So as soon as we get that training done, we'll do our first national call. But anyway, as you know, the show is sponsored by, or also sponsored by, republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. This is why I go, you know, probably above and beyond by reading these documents, because I don't want you to take my word for it. You need to read these things yourself, but I am going to actually, you know, read these. And I understand that most people, they're just way too busy to actually go out and, you know, take the time to read this one essay. I mean, it may take less than an hour to do. It's a couple pages long, but people still don't do it. And at least you could say, well, I've read it via an audio book or via an audio session with GR, because he reads that stuff for us. Because if you don't read it, then you don't get the full context and, you know, the power in some of these insights that Madison exposes us to, or the way the framers kind of cover the details of the Constitution and so forth. So anyway, what we're going to do is, like I said, we'll read this. And as a matter of fact, this was written on the 29th of March, 1792. And it is technically 3 pages long, but that has more to do with the font and so forth. And there's a few parts that I kind of highlight. But what I want to do is just kind of read this, and then when we're all done, we'll talk about the importance of property. Now, so Madison places context to property well beyond the average person when we look at, you know, property being real estate and or, you know, a tangible part of earth, what have you. Anyway, this is Madison going into this, and he says this: "This term in its particular application means, quote, that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual." So in other words, as you look through, you know, your world, all those things that you've purchased, all those things that are yours because you got them, you've obtained them in exclusion to, you know, everybody else in the world. And in some ways, if you really think about it, if you've got a car loan, you know, that car's not really yours yet until you've paid it off. Even though you're paying it off, you can consider it your property, but at any point in time you fail to do that. It's the same thing with your house. If you don't own the land of your house because of your mortgage or what have you, then, you know, it's, you can look at it as your property, but it's not your property entirely yet. And so anyway, he goes on and says, "In its larger and juster meaning, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage." In other words, everybody has their property, and everybody has this, I'll just say, this balance sheet of property, this bottom line, whatever your value is. You know, everybody's life is measured at the end, because that becomes your estate that is either handed down or it is confiscated, what have you. But nevertheless, there is always a final assessment and survey of all those things that are yours. Now, every once in a while, somebody may, die that has a few different storage facilities, like the storage lockers or what have you. Nobody knows. And then when, the estate kind of goes out and tries to find all of the things it has, and they didn't know you had these little things, that doesn't make it wasn't your property. And it doesn't mean that that wasn't a part of your estate. It was just never actualized. It was never realized to be yours. And because a lot of those facilities, a lot of those types of circumstances usually are, just assumed by whoever is, whoever you're renting that space from, or wherever that your goods are being kept by somebody else. And they go, oh, okay, well, he died and he never came and got these things, and it's already done. So that 9 times out of 10, they assume it as theirs. So anyway, in a former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. Now, we've talked about this before, especially regarding the digital currency. Money is the liquid form of all of your property, whatever the currency is. And if it is not a physical currency and you have a lot of physical property, then all of a sudden, if you liquidate everything, everything is now susceptible to somebody just confiscating it from you because you don't actually possess it. They're just numbers on a balance sheet that basically say, okay, we've got this deposited. But, and one of the things I need to go through is there's an executive order that you need to be aware of that Biden signed about a year ago. And it is astronomically a violation of the Constitution. And this is the preparation, and they're laying the groundwork to take us to a cashless society. Because the few of us that have been talking about how evil a cashless society would be, well, we're getting fewer and fewer, and there's way too many kids that are coming into society from our education system that sees and does not understand the value and importance of tangible currency, tangible money as property, because they're not learning these things. So we'll be right back after this promo.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me back up two lines. And this is what he says. And listen to what he's saying here. In a larger and juster meaning, property, that dominion over all the claims that you exercise over external things of the world, in a larger and juster meaning, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage. In the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. In the latter sense, A man has a property in his opinions and the free communication of them. He has property of peculiar value in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. He has a property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. I'm hoping you're taking a note on that. I hope you go, oh my goodness, we actually have property in the safety and liberty of your person. In other words, when you have this liberty, when you have this property, who has the responsibility of safeguarding it? To each all of us. And to each all of us should be respecting that same safety and liberty of others. Now, we got perverted when all of a sudden people said, well, this isn't fair, that's not fair, we need to start taking things from people, and or we need to start compelling people to do things because we want these handouts. We want to be able to take care of these people that feel like they for some reason they just don't want to take care of themselves, the homeless or what have you. Being homeless in the old days was just hard to fathom. I mean, it's one thing to become addicted and, like drinking or what have you to some drugs and just basically let your life go. But just to be homeless, just to be without and to live, with your hand out or, the way you have to survive. I mean, if all of a sudden that person was put out into the wilderness, that person would have to fend for themselves and they would have to actually assert survival tactics, right? That maybe they'd have to live in a tree to stay away from predators or, they'd have to hunt and forage and, find good water to survive. I mean, either that or you just say, okay, I'm going to sit here and die. And that never, I don't know of anybody in history where, there was just a bunch of people that just decided, I'm not going to do anything anymore. I'm just going to, sit here and die. It's innate in all things. As a matter of fact, there's, always these philosophical points, but you can actually see all life forms, whether it be a plant, whether it be an animal, all life forms, when it comes to the point of its survival, it will do whatever's necessary to survive. And so when somebody gets so dark, suicides have existed for a long time. And I'm sorry for going down this rat hole, but even though suicides may have, existed, that is a dark and I'll just say a perverse paradigm when a person, actually feels like they should just take their life. Doesn't mean that they, don't want to survive anymore. It means specifically that they're using their life as the final and ultimate statement. And that's a sad day when somebody does that. But the inherent, innate desire to survive exists in all of us, in all living creatures and beings and entities. And so back into this, he has a property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects on which to employ them. In a word, a man is said to have a right to his property. He may be equally said to have a property in his rights. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his persons, his faculties, or his possessions. Now, to be clear, we're going to dive into this one stanza, because if you really look at this, it's kind of like a poem, where an excess of property prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. Where this is an excess of liberty, the effect is the same, though from an opposite cause. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well that which lie in the various rights of individuals. I'll reread that. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well that which lies in the various rights of individuals, as that which the term particular expresses. This being the end of government, that alone is a just government which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. According to this standard of merit and praise of according a just securing to property, should be sparingly bestowed on government which, however scrupulously guarded the possessions of individuals, does not protect them in the enjoyment and communication of their opinions, in which they have an equal and in the estimation of some a more valuable property. More sparingly should this praise be allowed to a government where a man's religious rights are violated by penalties or fettered by tests or taxed by a hierarchy. Conscience is the most sacred of all property. Other property, depending in part on positive law, the exercise of that being a natural and an inalienable right, to guard a man's house as his castle, to pay public and enforce private debts with the most exact faith, can give no title to invade a man's conscience, which is more sacred than his castle. Interesting. Now, wrap your arms around that one, that there is your conscience of how you feel, whether you should have to take a shot or not, is more sacred than his castle. Or to be told or to withhold from it in that debt of protection for which the public faith is pledged by the very nature and original conditions of the social pact. That is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety and personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. A magistrate issuing his warrants to a press gang would be in his proper functions in Turkey or Indostan under appellations proverbial for the most complete despotism. That is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choice of their occupations, which not only constitute their property in the general sense of the word, but are the means of acquiring property strictly so called. What must be the spirit of legislation where a manufacturer of linen cloth is forbidden to bury his own child in a linen shroud in order to favor his neighbor who manufactures woolen cloth, where the manufacturer and wearer of the woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of that material in favor of the manufacture of buttons of other materials. A just security to property is not afforded by that government under which unequal taxes oppress one species of property and reward another species. Where arbitrary taxes invade the domestic sanctuaries of the rich, and excessive taxes grind the faces of the poor, where the keenness and competitions of want are deemed an insufficient spur to labor, and taxes are again applied by an unfeeling policy as another spur in violation of that sacred property, which heaven, in decreeing man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, kindly reserved to him in the small repose that could be spared from the supply of his necessities. If there be a government, then, which prides itself in maintaining the inviolable of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use, without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their persons, and their faculties. So we'll pick it up from just before there. We'll kind of restart that paragraph. But as you can see, he's getting into all these different slants on how egregious government can be in its taking and controlling of one property for another or giving favors, and we'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
So let me just start off at the beginning of this stanza. And so, if there be a government, then which prides itself in maintaining the inviolable, which sacred or holy, of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use, without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their person, and their faculties, nay, more, which indirectly violates their property in their actual possessions in the labor that acquires their daily substance, and in the hallowed remnant of time, which ought to relieve their fatigues and soothe their cares, the influence or inference which shall have been anticipated that such a government is not a pattern for the United States. If the United States mean to obtain or deserve the praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former, and by repelling its example in violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that and all other governments. Now, you got to understand that the concept of property transcends all different forms of government, from counties, state, and federal. And so when I started creating this reinforcing property rights, the first thing, and as a matter of fact, at the very top of this, I say Madison's essay on property is an essential reading to understanding the property rights of a U.S. citizen. Money is private property. Do not think otherwise. Just because the federal government, you know, is responsible for printing it, that's all it is a responsibility. It is not a possession. They're not to possess it. They're to ensure that we have a currency that is maintaining a value and not just manipulating our economy. They have no ability to loan and or they can borrow, but they have no ability to print money and give it to banks on interest-free loans or what have you. I mean, everything that they're doing regarding our currency with the Federal Reserve is all unconstitutional, folks. And so when people go and say, well, we need to audit the Fed, don't bite into that. The Fed is unconstitutional, and auditing it only validates it. Because what it does is it basically says, oh, well, you know, we need to look at what you're doing so that we can regulate you. But no, we need to dismantle it, not regulate it, because it is equally unconstitutional. So regulating something that they've created only legitimizes it. So, you know, and you need to start looking at things like that. Now, another thing within property is patent rights, and we'll get to that. It's much later, but you got to understand that, you know, as Madison stated, that a person has a right in their, you know, their thoughts, their ideas, and those types of things. And the Constitution clearly allows the federal government to create patents for a limited time, because they also realize that, you know, there are certain, you know, discoveries and what have you that should be protected for, a few years, but not permanently, so that somebody can come along and buy something up and bury it so that it could never be used again. If you understand what the Constitution says, we'll get into that when we get there, but if you really start understanding the intent was to basically safeguard the initial values of things, but over time, it was to be opened up. I mean, you know, when you have these perpetual copyrights, these perpetual patents that, you know, nobody can, you know, use, it's almost like even books. Books have like, 70 years? Something like that, or some amount of time after a person dies before you can copy, you know, or be able to use that book and cite it and what have you. Anyway, it's crazy, because what we have taken is we've taken this, I don't want to call it hoarding, but we've taken these ideas and said, okay, well, you know, if that's your property right, then you have a permanent right to that property, to an idea. Well, if somebody else came up with that same idea and, you know, they can prove that it was original, that they never even lived or never been exposed to that, then why aren't they equally entitled to that same idea? There have been cases where, you know, there have been times and cases throughout history where the same ideas started permeating, because as these innovations of processes or what have you, people would come up with the same things because it was just a logical sequence of development and innovation. And so, you know, when we start looking at processes, you know, sometimes you can think out of the box, but a lot of times the processes are just a natural deduction of what you do. And so anyway, let me get back to money. Money is managed and regulated by the general government by the consent of the people and states for the good of the people. The role, responsibility, power, or possession of property delegated to the general governments within the Constitution is as follows. Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 1, that Congress shall have the power to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 4, the Congress shall have power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and then this is not necessarily about money, but and a foreign coin, and the fix, and fix the standards of weights and measures. Article 1, Section 9, Subsection 7. No money shall be drawn from the treasury, but in consequence of appropriations by law, and a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all money shall be published from time to time. All laws must be in pursuance to the Constitution's roles, responsibilities, powers, and possessions of property enumerated within the Constitution. So, in other words, the federal government can't just spend money. They can't just take money out of the Treasury because they want to do it. It has to be within their enumerated powers. A restriction placed upon the state regarding money is in Article 1, Section 10, Subsection 1. No state shall coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. So right there, we know that we need to make a law, or we actually need to start using petitions for, you know, going over all of these this money so far. You know, that the federal government has the constitutional responsibility to coining money, and that it is to be gold and silver, because the states cannot allow anything but gold and silver-backed currency. The fact that they got away from it was because nobody was literate with the Constitution, or those people who had, you know, an understanding hoodwinked the federal government in what they were doing, because they were being bought off, they were being coerced, what have you. Bottom line, folks, when FDR made, you know, actually it started with Wilson, but when they started doing these shenanigans over our money, and one can even go back to Ulysses S. Grant, even with, you know, the silver debacle that he had, you know, government has been playing games. You know, they think that they're doing something good, and nine times out of ten, it is a violation of our fundamental rights. And when they do that, they're violating our liberties. Now, states and the federal government, you know, have this symbiotic relationship. And we, the people, with our states and counties, we have a symbiotic relationship. But maintaining physical money is the requirement of the federal government. Digital assets is not a requirement of the federal government. Sorry, there's nothing in there that gives them the ability to control digital assets. Just because I can make a computer that could actually start generating something, and then say, hey, you know, that attaches a value to it, like Bitcoin. The fact that we've allowed these types of things to permeate and, you know, create these crypto digital currencies that actually don't even exist. I mean, folks, what does it cost to mint a silver dollar? You actually have to have the silver to do this. What does it take to mint a Bitcoin? Nothing. And we believe that that nothing is something. Well, yeah, if you're dumb enough to surrender money for nothing, And then, you know, everybody plays this game, and next thing you know, it just starts increasing in value. But you remember, what are you increasing in value? You're increasing nothing in value. It will always be nothing. And with the right, you know, with the right function in the computer, everybody could lose everything. The fact of the matter is, you can't lose matter. You cannot lose gold. You cannot lose silver. Somebody can take it from you, but it doesn't just disappear. It actually exists. It's tangible. And one of the laws of science is that, you know, you cannot make or destroy matter. It always exists. It only changes form. So you can change it from a solid form to a liquid form to gas or what have you. But matter will always exist. It has tangible properties to it that cannot be denied. So we'll be right back after this promo.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so if you really look at some of the most valuable property to us today, now, there's the individual properties, but I believe that there's a societal property that is priceless. And I think some of the things that we've gone through on this show over the past 10 years, from KSBN to KCAA or whatever it was in California, KSBN, and now Red State Talk Radio. Some of the things we've covered are no doubt our greatest treasure, the ratification debates, these words, these not only just ideas, these terms, these definitions, these clarifications of what our Constitution is, of what our inalienable rights are, how they are our rights, how they are our property. No one, if you marginalize this, no one will ever be able to have liberty again if we allow these things to be marginalized. We're living at a point where, you know, right now you're allowed to keep your physical property, but what they are doing is they are taking your rights, your liberties away from you. And as they do so, they are already stealing your property. And the only way we're going to be able to get them back, and it doesn't require a revolution, is we have to assert our rights. We have to basically say, you may have taken these, you may think you've taken these, but we still have them. The way they've taken them is they've gotten us to think that they don't exist or that they can control and regulate them. And, oh, as they've come along and created a rule or a law that Congress is not going to be open to the public whenever, you know, the public wants to petition it. they're going to shut you out. Well, if you look at the Constitution, they can't do that. And they can be held accountable to that. The problem is that the narrative, even with the conservative media, is failing to tell you these things. This is why I am absolutely livid with every conservative that talks about, oh, well, you know, those people that broke into Congress, that was wrong. They shouldn't have ought to have done that. But what they're doing, you know, in making, you know, these examples of these people, this is just terrible. Are you kidding me? It's unconstitutional. It's not terrible. And what they did was actually legitimate. You have a right to petition government. I didn't see anybody that went in there, and the way Congress reacted, they stoked the flames, and the people need to be furious with Congress and their insurrection against the Constitution and our rights. This is why that one petition that we have in removing Biden over the Electoral College clause and how the 12th Amendment should have been exercised in the choosing of the president. It's our very first petition on our petitions page. You need to check that out. Now, the right of conscience is, and again, this goes back to Madison's essay on property. You can't, it's hard to get your arms around this concept in the Bill of Rights for the 21st century if you don't read Madison's essay on property and then start understanding the very end of what government really needs to be doing in safeguarding our property and thus safeguarding our liberties. The federal government shall not meddle with any of these things. And the fact that they're possessing property that is unconstitutional is just another form of tyranny that they're waging. They're stealing our wealth. And the fact that they're telling people, because if a foreign nation comes along and buys, and the federal government allows a foreign nation to buy property, it's basically selling them the Brooklyn Bridge, allowing people to own these foreign entities, allowing them to own anything within the United States is not within the powers of the federal government. So every transaction that the federal government has allowed and facilitated for China or any other foreign nation has been done fraudulently because they had no authority to do it. They claimed the authority, but they can't. It has to be delegated. Just because they claim it doesn't mean that they have it. And oh, by the way, China and these other countries, knowing this, they knew coming in. And they have a commitment from the federal government that the federal government is going to be held to that. Or I should say the corrupt federal illegitimate players in our government, the bureaucracies and those people who are working to destroy all of our liberty and this great nation. The devil is within and he is fighting us. And he is going to succeed unless we stand. All we have to do is start asserting our rights with petitions. All we need to do is start holding our public servants accountable. And we have all the power because it is the supreme law of the land. And remember, a Republican form of government is one based on the law. And so when we go down, you know, because Madison, you know, talks about, you know, in the essay, he actually mentioned, you know, what a good government of the United States would be and what it would need to do. And so understanding and protecting the right of conscience is absolutely paramount so that no person can ever be placed into a point of compulsion of having to vaccinate their children, of having to do something. You know, the ramifications And the fact that people have just willingly accepted these unconstitutional rules and accepted the consequences. How many parents have seen their children become autistic because of vaccinations? You know, where they saw their child was just functioning just fine. There was no hint of autism until after the vaccinations. And then the parent, you know, because they were compelled to do this, you know, it's their regret. This is a regret that nobody should have to live with. Everyone should be able to make the best decisions and have access to the information so that you can actually make that decision. That's what true medical freedom is. True medical freedom is nothing that has, you know, any assistance whatsoever. You want medical care, you go pay for your medical care. Now, in the old days, communities got together and or religions got together and they provided these types of services because it was compassion for the people. Government has no play in passion. Remember, the government is the entity that fights wars and keeps us safe from external threats. That's it. When you allow them to actually start playing within our domestic affairs, you allow them to engage in domestic warfare against us. This is why my constitutional minutes, my very first one this year, my only one of two that I had time to do, truly identified the different forms of warfare that the federal government has been engaging against us, we the people, and the states. So the right of conscience cannot be marginalized. Don't allow yourself to marginalize it. You know somebody that has, you know, had a child that was affected by immunizations and became autistic, then you need to help that person understand that the government did that to them, that they actually did have a right to deny. They had that right, but we've all been told that right doesn't exist, and we've all been compelled. I can tell you, when I was young and I didn't understand these things, you know, I had my children vaccinated, but that was back when most of the vaccines were safe and they were at least applying some tests. And you could see what the risks really were. And they were very minimum. But in today's world, all of these vaccinations, these things that they're doing for cervical cancer and all this other crap, are you kidding me? Folks, the right of conscience is one of the most precious rights, as Madison states. And government cannot be meddling with these things. Doesn't matter what the reason is. Does not have to be founded in doctrine in your religion. It only has to be founded in the fiber of your being. You only need to feel that you should not have to do something. That should be sufficient. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. We need your help. We'll be back with more of this property stuff to help go through the importance of property before we get into the ratification debates.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.